There we go. Okay.
Guess that didn't work. Sorry. All right, everybody, please mute your phones so that we don't have background noise. I'll have to mute you. Thank you. All right, Roger, you got the floor.
All right. Thank you, sir. Hello, everybody. This is going to be an interesting call, I can tell you now. We got a lot of new people on tonight, and they haven't heard some of this before. So for those of you that have heard it, bear with me. For those that haven't, this is going to be your first time of hearing how we stand up states in the Republic now. We still got background noise here.
I'm working on it, sir.
Okay. Well, let me get started with an opening prayer. Father, we thank you for the ability to communicate with everybody. We thank you for the people you brought on here to the Republic and on the call. We ask that you open up their ears, that they have good, solid questions at the end. Give us the wisdom of you. Give us the ability to act on your behalf. We ask, Father, that you be here tonight, that your spirit go from person to person. Let us know what your will is. And, Father, we're looking forward to standing up this republic. It's not ours, yes. It's yours. And we say that in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
First thing I'm going to go over is Article 3 of the Constitution. People have asked me, that's in here in just the last couple of weeks, where do we get our jurisdiction? Where do we get our authority? It comes directly from the Constitution. It's not long, so I'm going to read it to you. Article 3, the judicial branch. Section 1, the judicial power of the... The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish.
Dean, are you listening?
I'm listening, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The judges both of the Supreme Court and the inferior courts shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. Section 2. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. Notice it did not say common law. It said law and equity. Under this Constitution, the laws of the United States and treaties that are made or which shall be made under their authority to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and councils, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction. Now, why would they have that in there? That is for the military. To controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens, or another state, changed by the 11th Amendment. Now, what will happen with that is when we stood up, we will take what was changed by the Seventh Amendment and throw it out. Because the Seventh Amendment, or excuse me, the 11th Amendment stops, it's after the 10th. So we will have to, our Congress will have to look at that and see if they want to keep it, revise it, or what they want to do with it. We only go to 1 through 10. Between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants in different states, or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens or subjects. Now that covered a lot. But we're not just talking about the Supreme Court. We're talking about the district courts, which are the inferior courts. Now after that comes the state courts, and then the circuit courts and the county courts. And all of this, all those courts are in the judicial branch, whether it be national or state. Then it says, in all cases afflicting ambassadors, other public ministers or councils, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Now, what we have to understand is this. When the people, the founding fathers, wrote this Constitution, it did a couple of major things. It did away with the Articles of Confederation. A lot of what was in the Articles, they updated and brought into the Constitution. You will hear... What happened was they did away with the Articles of Confederation and then brought in the law of this Constitution. But a lot of the things that were in the Articles, they brought forward. So, that was one thing. The other thing was this gave a new brand of government to the people. And what it did, it got rid of the each state having its own currency, each state having its own... Would you please be quiet?
Somebody on the call.
Good. People can't understand. When the United States brought forth this Constitution, they brought forth a law form that was none like any other in the world at the time. What they did is they brought forth a law that was for the people. However, the founding fathers, being we the people, brought this forth to tell the national or the federal government what their extent of their jurisdiction was. This is why we say Constitution for the United States and not Constitution of. The play on words is this. When you use the word for, it's the people, you and I, telling the government this is as far as they can go with their reach. When you put the word of in, it's the government telling the people how far they're going to get into your state and tell you what you can and cannot do. The original writing was for, in 1865, right after the Civil War, they changed it from for to of, meaning the government was in charge of you. And that is why we are standing up to reverse that. That is why God is going to allow us. Now, let's go on here. Section 3. the title of all crimes except the case of impeachment shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crime shall be have and were committed, but when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. You commit a crime out on the open seas in the military, the Navy, then you are subject to a different law form. If you commit a crime in Canada, well, they can try you in Canada. It wasn't here. Now, we do have a treaty with them that they can extradite them, you know, those back into our nation. Now what? They didn't commit a crime in any state. So the Congress has the authority to choose where that's at. This is what the Democrats have been doing all along for the last 3.5 years, except they pick somebody who they want to get rid of, and they bring it to D.C. because in D.C. it's not a state. It's a territory. So it's like Gitmo. Gitmo is not in the lower 48 states. However, it's run by the military. So the UCMJ comes into play on all civilian individuals who get arrested by the military. And now it becomes a military jurisdiction. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession of open court. Nobody can just be claimed to have committed treason and you get tried on it. There's got to be evidence of it. And the only evidence that you can present for treason is adhering to the enemies. That would be like Russia or China, and you being part of their plan that will do harm, or giving them aid and comfort. Now, I can tell you this right now. Mr. Biden, both of them, have committed treason multiple times, thousands of times, over the last 50 years because they give China information. They give China the right to come into our country. They have been buying land under Biden's watch. That is called treason, according to the Constitution. And just so you know, under military rule, you don't see the next sun come up when you're convicted. That's the way the military operates. Now, the Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted. In other words, the founding documents in their day gave them the right to whip people and cause stripes on the back, and blood would come. And that they did away with that. Its Constitution will not allow a prisoner to be whipped. So that's what that means, no corruption of blood. Now, let's go into the Northwest Ordinance, because this has got some places in it that we all need to understand. You've heard us say that you have to stand a state up. There are certain things about that you have to absolutely go by. We had the 13 colonies. They became states. Right after those 13 colonies became states, and this was under the Articles of Confederation, on July 13, 1787, the Congress then, and this is before the Constitution now, came up with the Northwest Ordinance. And this is a document that we go by very strictly in the Republic, because it is what allowed the United States to move westwardly through the territories and then the territories becoming a state. And here's what this document says. This is an ordinance for the government of the territory of the United States northwest of the Ohio River. Be it ordained by the United States and Congress assembled that the said territory for the purpose of temporary government be one district, subject, however, to be divided into two districts, that would be territories, as future circumstances may, in the opinion of Congress, make it expedient. Now, I'm going to jump down here to paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. It says, be it ordained by the authority aforesaid, that's Congress, that there shall be appointed from time to time by Congress a governor whose commission shall continue in force for the term of 3 years, unless sooner revoked by Congress. Now, here we have what Congress agrees to, and that is a governor of a territory. Every person that is a governor in a republic, this is how they were vetted. A senator listened to the vetting, was on live, and then it went to the Congress, and the Congress okayed it and sent it to the president, President Geiger, who signed the documentation for it, because that's his job. And then it comes back to those who swear in, the people, the governors. Now, I and other justices, like the Supreme Court Chief Justice, can swear in individuals that become governors because there's only a few people in the republic that can do that, and that's judicial. Now, once a governor is sworn in, here's the next step. There shall be an appointed time from time to time by Congress a secretary whose commission shall continue in force for 4 years unless sooner revoked. He shall reside in the district, that's the territory, and have a freehold estate therein of 500 acres of land. Now, today we probably can't do that because every square inch of this land in America is accounted for. But we still need a secretary. So we have the Secretary of State. So we have a governor and a secretary that's brought in by the judicial and the Congress. Later on in this, it says, let's see here. Every 6 months, okay, to the Secretary of Congress, there shall also be appointed a court to consist of 3 judges, any 2 of whom will form a court. So in the territory, now understand when we say territory, if you live in South Carolina, you are a territory right now, because you do not have a de jure government. Right now, your constitution, even though yours was one of the first, it still is de jure. So technically, you're a territory because the statehood was taken away from you back in 1871. When we get stood up, your state comes back to you. This is why we want all 5 positions in every state or territory in this United States to be filled with the proper people. When we are stood up, then all 50 states then also become states again under the original biblical constitutional law. Every state will have its own state constitution that is in the same procedure basic writing as what is in the national constitution. Now, I understand that Colorado is much different than Indiana, and your state constitution in Colorado might vary a little bit from what Indiana's does. If you live in California, you're getting all the different weather patterns. You're getting the north part of the state is much different than San Diego. I know, I've been there. And it can get mighty cold up in the northern part of the state. You got some big areas up there of massive hills and mountains. The landscape is much different than anywhere else. At the same time, Ohio and its weather patterns are much different than Kansas. So the state constitutions may vary a little bit. So don't think they're all going to be saying exactly the same thing, because they won't. Some states are so large and have so much more people in them, they got to do things a little bit differently, such as they may have three district courts in one state where the other one only has two. That's because of population. So what we got right now from the Northwest Ordinance is we have a governor, we have a secretary, what we call SOS, and we have three judges in every territory, in every state. So that's five individuals. Now, inside your state, when you get all five of these filled up, you then can have elections in your state area to have like two members of Congress, or I should say the Senate, and one rep. They are not required to be a state. They are required to be in the state itself, to have the state constitution, to have different laws that are being passed in that state only. Now, in the past, we've had to take a senator or a rep from a state and also have them be in the membership of the national side of the reps or the Senate. So I think we're getting enough people in right now. We don't need to do that anymore, which I hope. I did find out the other day that right now, according to Sandy, we have 5,822 individuals on her spreadsheets of people that have signed up and gotten in. Some of you have already attained a position. Some of you are already sworn in. The vast majority of you are not. So therefore, our work is cut out for us. This is why we are asking for volunteers to sit in on some of these vetting committees to see how it's done, because we may next week or so volunteer you to be an individual who helps vet new people. Think of it this way. Your son is playing in a college football game, and you go to the practice on Friday, and there's maybe 30 people in the stand. But when you come back Saturday, there may be 70,000. That's kind of what we're facing right now. 3 months ago, we had maybe 60 people. Look what we got now. And now all these people are going to be vetted and sworn into an office. And I also want to mention this about the offices. A senator and a representative are sworn in by the Senate and the House, whether it be national or state. So the judicial does not swear in anybody who is a state or national senator or a state or national representative. The House of Representatives and the Senate will swear their own people in. At the same time, if you are a governor or a secretary of state or in the judicial side of it, then I get to swear you in, or Dan Crager can. Any of the justices can do that. So that's the way that works. So what we're trying to do right now between myself and President Geiger and Sandy is break everything down during a week where we have right now four and maybe five nights a week where we vet people. We can get four in per night. So we have the potential to do 20 individuals if we can have five nights a week to do it. At the same time, we are working really hard to get enough people sworn in that we can swear them in some maybe 10 or 15, 20 people at a time. Because that day is coming and it's approaching us very quickly. And I'll also say this. The way things are going out in the world, the way things are operating with Nasera, Gesera, and all that, it may not be much longer before that whole thing gets kicked off. We're all hoping, but there are so many things that have to come down and be just in perfect timing for it all to happen. We in America, we have such a large scale of criminals running the government, state and national. The military is going to do at least the first five or six salvos of that in the opening rounds to take out as many as they can. At the same time, they got to keep the peace in the street, and that's where the National Guard will come in. And in any operation that I've ever been involved in the Marine Corps, that's the way it works. The locals take care of the city and the county. Well, the national, that'd be the Marines, will come in and search for the individuals they're looking for. Last I heard, there were 640,000 arrest warrants. That's a lot of people to take into custody. Do you think they're going to fit that many people in Leavenworth or Gitmo? I don't think so. That means trials are going to be going quickly and smoothly, and so will the executions. Remember what I said about treason. Chances are real good that your governor of your state has committed treason in one way or another. I know this for a fact. Over the last 50 years, maybe a little longer, the governor of the state and the mayor of a town, no matter what size town it is, if it's incorporated to the state, when the EPA will come in and make the mayor or the governor sign documents, so he is ordered to throw poisons in the city or the county drinking water, such as fluoride. Not the natural fluoride, the fluoride coming off the metal, aluminum. It's put in rat poison. When you pick up some rat poison, mice poison, read the label and it will say contains fluoride. That's a waste of aluminum while they're making aluminum. So they didn't want to have to pay to get rid of it on a large scale. So back when I was a kid in the 50s, they put it first in Crest toothpaste and told everybody, every mom in America, that Crest had fluoride and it whitens your teeth. And that is true. It does whiten your teeth. It also rots them out over a period of time. Well, that kept the dentist in operation. But have you noticed, if you're a veteran, when you go to the VA, you don't have access to the dentist, do you? Not unless you are 100% disabled. If you are 30 or 40%, I'm sorry, you don't get that. You've got to go pay for that out in town. They kept the dentist, that part of medical, open and operating very well. That was their plan. Trump says that he wants to change that. That has to go to the Congress. But I tell you what the Republic will do. The Republic will ensure the fact that if you ever served in the military, you're top of the line. You're getting everything before anybody else does. So that's just the way that's going to work. Please mute your phone. Okay. The governor and judges, or a majority of them, shall adopt and publish in the territory or district such laws of the original states. That's the original 13. Now, what did that just say? It said that the governor of the territory and the three judges, they are the law of the territory until we can hold lawful elections. I'll say that one more time. If you live in North South Carolina, you live in Oregon, you live in California, the governor and the three judges make the law, but they get the law from the original 13 colonies that then became states. You have to go back to their original constitution for the state and pick that out and put that in as your law of your state. That's how that works. Next paragraph says, the governor, for the time being, shall be commander-in-chief of the militia, appoint and commission all officers in the same below the rank of general officers. All general officers shall be appointed and commissioned by Congress. Previous to the organization of the great General Assembly, the governor shall appoint such magistrates and other civil officers in each county or township. Now, that's key because I've had a lot of people ask me, what about townships? Well, there you go. The governor of the state shall appoint any magistrate she wants to put in office and other civil officers, like a cabinet, to the governor in each county or township. So the governor of the territory of the state has the authority by this Northwest Ordinance excuse me, to pick anybody she wants to be on her cabinet, to be in positions all through every county. The governor does that until we can hold lawful elections. So what I'm telling you is, we go by the Northwest Ordinance because that was the law before we even had a constitution. And the constitution down in Article, I believe it's 5 or 6, talks about all things that were done like this, all laws like this are carried over to the constitution. For that, in each of the states, for every 500 free male inhabitants, there shall be one representative. Bring that up to modern times. For every 500 people, there shall be one representative. So in your state, you can have one representative for every 500 individuals. Now, some states today may have 15 million people. That's way too many representatives. But we're not talking about the national side. We're only talking about the state itself. So what we have here is we've got the lay of the land on what a state during this interim time should look like and how it becomes an actual state. One governor, one secretary of state, three judges. From that, in this eternal side of the state, we have the Senate and we have the reps. We have magistrates in each county, and we have in the court system itself, you're going to need like bailiffs. You're also going to need a court recorder, stenographers, what they call them today. And you're also going to need a building. Now, instead of going out and building brand new stuff and costing an arm and a leg for it, if you think that you can use the original courthouse, I would suggest if it is was built before 1860, I would say it's okay to use. That's back during the original Republic days. However, if it was built in 1971 or something like that, you might want to go to a different type of building, because that building has been used to hurt people, to steal from people, and you don't want that in the Republic. That's not the way we operate. Now, the representatives thus elected shall serve for a term of 2 years, and in case of the death of a rep or removal from office, the governor shall issue a writ to the county or township for which he was a member to elect another in his stead or place to serve for the residue of his term. The General Assembly or legislature shall consist of the governor, legislative council, and a House of Representatives. Notice what it said there. No Senate. Why? Because the Senate works for the state itself, the boundaries of the state, bringing in business, bringing in parks or whatever. It's the legislative branch, a part of Congress, that actually represents the people. That's why there is no Senate mentioned in that line. Okay. Now let's read a few of the articles here. This is still under This is still under the Northwest Ordinance. Article 1. No person demeaning himself in a peaceable or orderly manner shall ever be molested on account of his mode of worship or religious sentiments in the said territory. Now, you understand what that means? If you get arrested for whatever reason, you cannot be molested on the count of who you or what you worship. We have that in our First Amendment. Article 2. The inhabitants of the said territory shall always be entitled to the benefits of the writ of habeas corpus and a trial by jury. Wow, that sounds like one of our first 10 articles. Article 3. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government. Did you hear that? Our founding fathers knew what could happen, so they made a way to restrict it. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. Schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. The utmost good faith shall always be observed towards the Indians. Their lands and their property shall never be taken from them without their consent, and in their property rights and liberty, they shall never be invaded or disturbed unless in just and lawful wars authorized by Congress. But laws founded in justice and humanity shall from time to time be made for preventing wrongs being done to them and for preserving peace and friendship with them. That was the law way back in that day. And we know in the 1800s, that law was never adhered to. That's why we in this republic can never go forward unless we have the Native Americans siding with us, which we do, from 2015 on, they have made peace with the Republic. In Article 4, the said territory and the states which may be formed therein shall forever remain a part of this Confederacy of the United States of America. That does not mean the South. Subject to the Articles of Confederation. That's what they were living by at that time. And to such alterations therein as shall be constitutionally made. Understand that? And to all the acts and ordinances of the United States and Congress assembled, the inhabitants and settlers in the said territory shall be subject to pay a part of the federal debts contracted or to be contracted, and a proportion part of the expenses of government to be apportioned on them by Congress according to the same common rule and measure by which apportionations thereof shall be made on the other states. In other words, even back in that day, somebody had to run the federal government. The money didn't grow on trees. Now, this is before the Constitution. This is before automobiles. This was before the grocery stores you could go buy processed food at. This is before all that. Article 5. There shall be formed in the said territory not less than three or more than five states, and the boundaries of the states, as soon as Virginia shall alter her act of cession and consent to the same. Now, what that technically, that whole part of that is saying, the territory, the Northwest Territory, ran from the Ohio River through the Northwest, and out of that we got five states. We got Ohio, we got Indiana, we got Kentucky, we got Illinois, and we got Wisconsin, just as it said. And this Northwest Ordinance became the law of how other states became states back in the 1800s. Now, we had like 14 states become states after 1861. And those are not constitutions that are correct as far as the national constitution goes. And it wasn't until 1876, I think it was, where a judge on the now corporate type of Supreme Court started changing the way that they looked at the original Constitution. This is where back in 1868, we had a court case and it said this was the outcome, so we'll just go by that. Forget the evidence, forget whatever, we'll play the court game, but this is how we're going to decide, because it's already been decided. And whatever, they did not understand that every case is different. And then they found out, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but the very first license plate, or I should say license to drive, came out of Tennessee in 1865 because a slave owner wanted to marry his top female slave, which, of course, was black. White and black. And back in those days, you could actually be hung for doing that. So Tennessee decided, well, we'll have this license made up for you, but we're going to charge it, or whatever, a couple dollars or whatever back then, which was a lot of money. And they found out that the state could make money. And it wasn't more than probably 8 years, I think. Every state in the Union now used a marriage license in which you had to pay for, whether it was black on black, white on white, or white and black. They didn't care about Oriental. They didn't want them in the country except to build railroads and stuff like that. So this is where racism supposedly was stopped by Lincoln, but it continued on by having to get licenses to do things. So if you have a free constitutional government, you should never have to pay for a license to fish, to get food, to hunt, to get food, or to get married. You're supposed to be free. And the opening comments in the Constitution as well as the Declaration is all men are equal, unless you're black. They didn't see blacks as equal. Now, they tried and tried and tried over the years in the 1800s to get rid of slavery, but there was just never enough votes in Congress to get it done. All right. Mute yourself, please. So what happened next, the people in the states were starting to pay for everything that they should have never paid for. And then the state found out, wow, we can actually make money on these horses and buggies that go fast through town. Now, I'll be honest here. My mom's maiden name was Studebaker. She comes from the line of Studebakers that owned the Studebaker auto industry and got a museum up in South Bend, Indiana. They made the horse and buggies in their day. That's how they got started. And they were very fancy.
Go Irish.
And so I've been able to go up to the museum and see some of the people that were in one way or another related to me. But when they got into automobiles, interestingly enough, in 1904, the Studebaker Corporation actually made the very first electric car. The only problem was, back in those days, kind of like now, they didn't have very many charging stations. So when you can travel 7-8 miles on a full battery, and then all of a sudden it runs dry on you, you don't have a charging station to. So people didn't buy them. And so they went back to the gas car. Studebakers were actually the second automobile ever made in the world. A German company made the first one. Ford did not come out with his until right after 1910 or something, and he come up with the first assembly line. So back in that day, the state found out they can make money on gas. They can charge you like a cent on every gallon of gas, which at that time was probably only 15 cents. I started driving in 1970, and they had gas wars where gas was all the way down to 22 cents a gallon. Boy, wouldn't you love to see 22, 23 cents a gallon now? But the point is, the state found out they can make buku money on the people's back, and they don't have to work for it. And then you had the politicians who found out they can make money for begging the people to support them. Everything that you pay for in 1920 had a tax associated with it in some way. In 1950, you paid less than 8% of a dollar in tax, whether it's state or federal. Today, you're paying 42 cents on the dollar in taxes. And that Federal Reserve note has only got the value of 6 cents. So out of that 6 cents, you are paying almost 3 cents taxes. Now, Kamala, whatever her name is, she said Thursday night she wanted to raise taxes by 40% more to pay for the EVs, to pay for the Green New Deal, to pay for all this stuff. Now, that's called tyranny. When an individual takes over the reins of the country and doesn't care about the people, doesn't worry about the people, all they worry about is themselves, this becomes a dictatorship in tyranny. And I want you to always remember the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence says that the people, that's you and I, have not just the right but the duty to tear down the government that's in tyranny and start over anew. And folks, this is what the military is going to do for us. Tear it down completely. Burn it to the ground. And then come knock on our doors and tell us it's our turn. That's what we got to look forward to. This Northwest Ordinance was signed September 5th, and it was being written between 1774 to July 1st, 1776. 3 days before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. They kept this in their law form because they had what they considered 5 or 6 more states to go. Turned out to be approximately 35 more states. Now, in the states and in the national government, we have things that people do that are crimes. So the Crimes Act of 1790 was brought forth by the Congress of the national government, the Republic. These are the rules and the laws that you and I will adhere to while we are in the Republic. Once we are stood up, every illegal in this country will either obey these laws or they will suffer the consequences of breaking them. Every citizen of a state will have the same thing. Well, I don't love God. I don't like God. I don't want nothing to do with Christianity. Well, guess what, buddy? I'm sorry. That's the law form of this nation. I read something earlier today that said on the 6th of November, they're telling everybody, please don't fly that day. They want to keep the seats open for everybody that's saying if Trump's elected, they want to get out. I think we should keep the seats open for them. Treason. Any person or persons owing allegiance to the United States of America shall levy war against them or shall adhere to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, and shall be therefore convicted or on confession in open court or on the testimony of 2 witnesses to the same overt act of treason, whereof he or they shall stand indicted. Such person or persons shall be adjudged guilty of treason against the United States and shall suffer death. Misrepresentation of treason. Any person or persons having knowledge of the commission of any of the treasonous aforesaid shall conceal and not as soon as may be disclosed and make known of the same to the President of the United States or someone of the judges thereof or to the President or Governor of a particular state or someone of the judges and justices thereof. Such person or persons on conviction shall be adjudged guilty of misprison of treason and shall be imprisoned not exceeding 7 years, or fined not exceeding $1,000. So that was in that day. Today, that's $175,000. Murder, robbery, or felony on the high seas, piracy, and mutiny. Any persons or person that shall commit upon the high seas or in any river, haven, basin, or bay out of jurisdiction of a particular state, murder or robbery or any other offense which, if committed within the body of the country, would by laws of the United States be punishable with death. Or if any captain or mariner of any ship or other vessel shall piracy and felonious run away with such ship or vessel, that would be treasonous by itself, or any goods or merchandise to the value of $50, or yield up such ships or vessels voluntary to a pirate, or if any seaman shall lay violent hands upon his commander, thereby to hinder and prevent his fighting in defense of the ship, or goods committed to his trust, or shall make a revolt in the ship, every such offender shall be deemed, taken, and adjudged to be a pirate and felon, and being thereof convicted, shall suffer death. Piracy, robbery, hostility against the United States. Any citizen shall commit any piracy or robbery aforesaid, or any act of hostility against the United States, or any citizen thereof upon the high seas, under color of any commission from any foreign or prince or state, or upon pretense of authority from any person, such offender shall, notwithstanding the pretense of authority, be deemed adjudged and taken to be a pirate, felon, and robber, and on being therefore convicted, suffer death. You see a trend going here? Accomplice to murder, robbery, and piracy. Every person who shall either upon the land or seas knowingly and willingly aid and assist, procure, command, counsel, or advise any person or persons to do or commit any murder or robbery or other piracy aforesaid upon the high seas, which shall affect the life of such person, and such person or persons shall thereupon do or commit any such piracy or robbery, and all and such persons as aforesaid aiding, assisting, procuring, commanding, counseling, or advising the same, either upon the land or the sea, shall be, and they shall hereby be declared, deemed, and adjudged to be accessory to such piracies before the fact, and every such person being thereof convicted, suffer death. Accessories to the fact of murder, felony, robbery, or piracy. This is different. I'll just tell you what it is. They shall be imprisoned, not exceeding 3 years, and fined, not exceeding $500. So if you know of a robbery or a murder, and you don't tell anybody, you hide them maybe, you're going to be in prison for 3 years and fined not exceeding $500, which today would be close to about $90-some thousand. Manslaughter or accomplice to piracy. This guy shall be in prison not exceeding 3 years and fined not exceeding $1,000, $175,000 of our dollars. Counterfeiting. Now this is interesting. If any person or persons shall falsely make altered, forged, or counterfeit, or cause the procure to be falsely made, altered, forged, or counterfeited, or willingly act or assist in the false making, altering, forging, and counterfeiting any certificate, indent, or other public security of the United States, or shall utter or put off or offer or cause to be uttered, put off, or offended in payment or offered in payment for the sale of any such false, forged, altered, and counterfeited article, indent, or other public security with intent to defraud any person knowing the same to be false, altered, forged, or counterfeited, and shall be therefore convicted, every such person shall suffer death. You get the idea that the founding fathers, after going through what England did to them and the king, weren't going to allow this to take place in our country anymore. Indifference with diplomatic immunity. In case any person or person shall sue for or prosecute any such writ of process, such person or persons and all attorneys and solicitors prosecuting or soliciting in such case, and all officers executing any such writ or process, being therefore convicted, shall be deemed violators of the laws of nations and dismembered of the public response, and imprisoned, shall not exceed 3 years, and fined at the direction of the court. Now, notice it says in all attorneys. That's because England was still messing around with us, and they had lawyers and attorneys. In our land, we only had lawyers. Passport obstruction. See, even back then, they had to have passports. Or assault on an ambassador. We got some here in the Republic that have taken the ambassador position. If any person shall violate any safe conduct or passport duly obtained and issued under the authority of the United States, or shall assault, strike, wound, imprison, or in any other manner infract on the laws of nations by offering violence to the person of the ambassador or other public minister, such person so offending on conviction shall be imprisoned not exceeding 3 years and fined at the direction of the court. Crimes against persons. Now this comes down to the state and county level. Any person or persons shall within any fort, arsenal, dockyard, magazine, or in any other place or district of county under the sole and exclusive jurisdiction of the United States commit the crime of willful murder, such person or persons on behalf thereof convicted shall suffer death. Manslaughter. Any person who with any fort, arsenal, dockyard, magazine, or other place of district of country shall under the sole and exclusive jurisdiction of the United States commit the crime of manslaughter and shall be therefore convicted, such person or persons shall be imprisoned not exceeding 3 years and fined not exceeding $1,000. Mayhem. Today's world, a lot of people don't even know what mayhem is. Any person or persons within the place there upon the land under the sole and exclusive jurisdiction of the United States or upon the high seas, and any vessel belonging to the states or to the citizen or citizens thereof. Notice what that said. You're not a citizen of the national government. You are a citizen to your state. On purpose and of malice, therefore, shall unlawfully cut the ear or ears or cut out the disabled, the tongue, or put out an eye, split the nose, cut the nose off at the tip, or cut off any, disable any limb or member of any person with intention in so doing, and maim or disfigure such person. If any of the manners before mentioned, then in each and such case, the person or persons so offending, their counselors, aides, and abettors, knowing of the piety of the offense aforesaid, shall on conviction be in prison not more than 7 years, and fined not exceeding $1,000. Crimes against property. Larceny. You will be, now this is the way it was back then, will be publicly whipped, not exceeding 39 stripes. Interesting. We will not whip. We will, our Congress will come up with a different solution to that, but we will not whip. Accessory to the fact of larceny. You will get the same punishment as everybody else gets before are prescribed. Well, larceny will get you 3 years. Misprison of felony. Any person or persons having knowledge of the actual commission of a crime of willful murder or felony upon the high seas or within any fort, arsenal, dockyard, magazine, or other place of district in country shall the sole and exclusive jurisdiction of the United States shall conceal and not as soon as may be disclosed and make known to the same to the some of the judges or other persons in civil or military authority under the United States upon conviction thereof, that person shall be judged guilty and of misprison of felony, and shall be imprisoned not exceeding 3 years, and fined not exceeding $500. Obstruction. Any person or persons shall, after such execution, had by force, rescue, or attempt to rescue the body of such offender out of the custody of the marshal or his officers, shall the conveyance of such body to any place for discretion as aforesaid, or shall by force rescue or attempt to rescue such body from the house of any surgeon, where the same shall have been disposed in pursuance of the act, every person so offending shall be liable to the fine not exceeding $100 and in prison not exceeding 12 months. That's 1 year. Now here's a big one. Corruption of judicial records. This would be like the clerk court. The court clerk would take documentation of a crime and change it or throw it away, destroy it, something of that that level. Lawyers changing documents, making it seem less harmful, less work, you know, less of a crime. To do those kind of things, you're going to be fined exceedingly $5,000. Or be imprisoned not exceeding 7 years, and be whipped not exceeding 39 stripes. Again, we will not whip. However, $5,000. Well, if 1,000 in today's terms would be 175,000, multiply that by 5. That would be your fine. So if you're a court clerk, don't think about changing documents. Don't think about letting somebody off because you can't find the paperwork. You get caught. Well, sorry. Here's another big one. Perjury. If you commit perjury, which is simply lying upon the stand to a jury, not to the judge, not to the lawyer, but to the jury, you lie to the people we the people. You shall be imprisoned, not exceeding 3 years, and fined, not exceeding $800, and shall stand in a pillory for 1 hour, and be therefore rendered incapable of giving testimony in any of the courts of the United States until such time as the judgment so given against the said offender shall be reversed. That is a law that can grow or shrink. If you lie on the stand to the people, and the guy, what you said convicts the guy, and he gets 10, let's just say he gets 7 years, and then later we find out you lied on the stand. Well, you're going to be in prison for 3 years just like he was. Maybe even in the same cell. That's the way these things work, isn't it? Judicial bribery. You try to bribe a judge. You try to bribe a jury. If that happens and you're convicted, you will be fined and imprisoned at the direction of the court and shall forever be disqualified to hold any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. So, let's say in the Republic, Joe Biden tries to pay off a lawyer so they can get Trump and put him in jail, like what happened up in New York. That would be called judicial bribery. Now, this is the only crime that you can commit where there's no set punishment. The judge in the case of this and that courtroom can literally put the death penalty on you, or he can put you in jail for just a year, 3, 5, or 7 years, because it says it's at the discretion of the court. Do not, I repeat, do not bribe a judge or a jury. How about obstruction of the judicial process? In other words, you're sitting on the jury and you're holding things up, whatever. You just keep, you know, stopping the procedure or whatever. You're going to be imprisoned not exceeding 12 months and fined not exceeding $300. Now, $300 don't sound like much back in the day, you know, based on what we know today. Back then, $300, man, you might work 5 years for that. Prison break or prison escape. Any person or persons shall by force set at liberty or rescue any person who shall be found guilty of treason, murder, or any other capital crime, or rescue any person convicted of any of the said crimes, going to execution or during execution, every person so offending and being thereof convicted will suffer death. If any person shall by force set at liberty or rescue any person who before convicted shall stand committed for any of the capital offenses aforesaid, and if any person or person shall by force set at liberty or rescue any person committed for the conviction of any other offense against the United States, they shall be fined not exceeding $500 and imprisoned for not exceeding 1 year. The Crimes Act made no provisions for the creation of federal prisons. Instead, on September 21st, 1789, current resolution asked the state legislatures to authorize their prisons to imprison federal prisoners. The very first federal prison opened in 1894 at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The original laws of the land did not make way for a federal prison to sit in any state. They had to be state convicted. The federal government primarily was death. But after 1871 and the Organic Act of the District of Columbia came out, signed by Grant, who was at the time a General Grant, Civil War, who loved the idea, loved it, to make everybody under the government, and therefore gladly signed that Act of 1871, which eventually enslaved you and me when we were born, and we never had a chance to know anything of her. He's the guy that we should speak against, not Lincoln. Him. Lincoln was trying to save the Union and the Republic. However, he was only able to save the Union. The Republic was swept under the rug. And because of the Jay Treaty, which was a treaty with France, because of that, in that writing of that treaty, it guarantees a republic form of government in the United States as long as the United States remains a nation. That is why, back in 1871, they couldn't completely do away with this because it mentions the Jay Treaty, which mentions a republic form of government. Therefore, Grant and his people at the time, on through the early 1900s, had to pass laws that gave outs for the people, but they hid them. Then came U.S. Code, statutes and codes. And with that, they really hid stuff and created new stuff. Meanwhile, the Republic was sitting in a dark room under the rug, hidden from everybody. The seats and the chairs are still there, but they're all empty. Those people back in that day could not do away with it, or they'd lose the ability to do trade and have protection from France. They didn't want that. They wanted to keep France as a friend. So they couldn't do away with the Jay Treaty. That preserved us in our day, in our time, to bring forth this republic from under the rug in the dark room. We were able to turn the lights on, and we saw all the empty seats. And that is when we began our work back in 08, 09, and then starting in 2010, the months of September through November, we actually brought back the three-branch government. And we were now able to start reseating all the empty seats. We started out with a lot. And so I call this the Gideon syndrome. We started out with, they say, close to 2 million. And in 2012, the nation state groups that were formed inside the Republic sold about 90% of our people. All because of one guy in the judicial branch, who, by the way, is now in prison for other crimes. He stole. He purposely did not get a judicial call going because he knew once the judicial side of things got up and running, we could actually prosecute him inside the Republic and we could throw him out. We can't do it outside the Republic, but we can do it inside the Republic. We are our own caretakers. Nobody asked us if we need permission. We just did exactly what our founding fathers did with the Declaration of Independence. We came out with the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. That told the world who we are, what we are, and how we're going to do things. That was delivered to The Hague, the post general of the mail. That was done to the Joint Chiefs and to the United Nations. I'm sure they probably watered it up and threw it away, especially in the UN. That doesn't make any difference to us. We delivered it, and it's documented. All you have to do is get on the website and read that entire document. It's long, but there was a lot of grievances. We held a grand jury down in Atlanta. I was part of that, and it lasted, 3 days? And we laid out our grievances to the grand jury. And we've done everything in accordance to law with our rebuilding, our bringing back the Republic, to fill the seats with the Northwest Ordinance. We're doing everything that we have found in law from our founders on to get it done. The only thing we haven't done or discussed on this call is the actual laws within the states, because they go in deeper and thin things out a little bit. It's easier to understand. What I gave you tonight was the 1790 Crimes Act. It was kind of rushed in their day because they were coming out with a constitution. They needed laws to back it up state to state. They do have other Crimes Act, and a couple of them in the 1820 range, but it didn't change the crimes itself. What it changed was the ability to bring out more courts, because the country was expanding westward. More states were being added, more people, therefore more courts. And never forget the fact why we call it a biblical constitution is because in the days of Moses, when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, the people came to Moses daily and wanted to know what God told you up on Mount Sinai. He couldn't handle all the people. They had over 4 million people. And his wife's father, his father-in-law, came to Moses and said, "You need to appoint judges to each tribe." So he did. Thus, the first republic law form was formed in the wilderness in the days of Moses and Aaron. Those judges then picked other judges within their tribe to serve. So Moses didn't have to worry about the judges anymore or hearing people complain. They were self-governed. And that's why we say we are a biblical law form, because originally that's where the law form came from, the wilderness in the desert, led by Moses. That's who we are. In order to have a biblical law form, that enables us to have true freedom and virtue. It enables us to have the freedom of expression, the freedom of speech, writing, the freedom to make a record, a song. But if you get convicted or arrested, you also have the freedom to a speedy trial, and you also have the freedom of counsel, because under England, you had no freedom of counsel. They sent somebody to represent you who most times were told not to like you. That's what's happening in America now. If you can't afford an attorney, so they say, one will be appointed to you. And by the way, that's going away too. The Miranda rights. That started in 1961. That's gone. It will not be in the Republic. Law enforcement will not have to say that to people, because it's unlawful to do so. We may come up with something different, but that particular thing will not be in our law form. So, look, it's an hour and a half now, so I'm going to stop for the night. Mark, if you want to unmute everybody and we'll see if anybody has any questions.
Yes, sir, we'll do that.
Thank you for doing this, Mark.
Hey, Roger, this is Dan.
Yeah.
You did a great job. You did a good, great job tonight.
Stand up, yeah.
And all I just have to say is you said a lot, but so much of this is just plain
end
old
it,
common
Pat,
sense.
Michael. Yeah. Next you do X. End it. Pat. Madonna. It's because Al is a lot. Yeah.
I'm not sure who the speaker was tonight, but I surely would love for him to come to Hawaii. We need you here.
Hey, can I go in the shield? When will the transcript be available?
What?
When will the transcript of tonight's speech be available? Well, we're recording it, so it should be. You should have a playback number on the. Did you get the document I sent out? Very, very good. Thank you. Let me.
It's still all swear. You understand now? I saw it, net. But an irritating face.
I suggest that you mute everyone until they speak.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting.
Point of order.
All right, continues to you.
Yeah. Point of order. This is Patrick McBride from Colorado. Everything you said tonight confirmed everything on my heart. I want to thank you for your testimony out of the Northwest Orient. Thank you so much. I yield.
You're welcome, sir.
McBride, we'll have to watch for him up and divide.
Well, let me say this to everybody. You got a pencil and paper handy. I'll give you the callback number. I'll wait about a minute until I give it so everybody can have time.
I don't know.
It is 667. I'll wait till somebody gets done talking. It is 667-770-1319. Would you please be quiet? 667-770-1319. That's the playback number. It is about an hour and 20 minutes, actually. So I hope this week everything comes out okay with that. Last week we had a problem. So this week hopefully we change numbers. So this is kind of a newer board for us. Anybody got any other questions?
Oh, this is Representative David Schmidt.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought we were using the other number. So I got a little late tonight, but when I was on there, got on there at 7, there were quite a few people on the other number that I was not aware that you were using this one. So I just thought I'd let you know that, and with that, I yield.
Okay, but Sandy put all that information out. Get it Friday. So.
Roger, this is Mike. Can I have the floor?
Yeah.
Great, great call, Roger. It was very, very interesting. Very, very good call. I learned a lot. I would like to make one other comment, though.
Sure.
I was on wire last night trying to catch up with everything, and we had a gentleman, and I'm not going to say his name because that's not important, that made a poster. It was an excellent poster, except that he had us as a corporation. And I brought that to him, and he instantly took it down right away. So for all the people that are on here, if we're going to post anything, you need to get that verified either through President Geiger, Roger, or Sandy. I would suggest that, or your governors of your state. And with that, I yield.
Thanks, sir. Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt, please.
Yes.
Otherwise, I think on mayhem, I would add a little more to that for the punishment, that the offending person pay for, be required to pay for medical bills, lost income, you know, compensatory damages to the victim should be added into that for the punishment.
Well, that, yeah, that falls under restitution. They didn't.
Yeah,
really
I understand.
Much,
right? I just thought I'd bring that up, and without a yield.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hi, this is Mary from Hawaii, and
yeah.
I would like to thank you, Roger. That was amazing. You need to be here in Hawaii to help with this corruption out here. And my second thought here is I would like to be in touch with who is in charge of the Hawaii state.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you've heard me before, but I served in 1974 to 76. I was stationed in Kaneohe Bay.
Oh, no kidding.
I've been there.
I'm on the Big Island.
Yeah. It was such horrible duty. It was just bad. Got to see all the beautiful places, all the waterfalls on the Big Island. I mean, it was just horrible.
Oh, I know. It's terrible living on the Big Island. You know, the hardest thing about living here is you have to go to work.
What channel do you live on?
On the Big Island.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Are you in the area where the volcanoes do you damage?
Yeah, I lost my home in 1990 on Earth Day to the lava.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, you get your feet up and you do it again, right?
Do you have my email address?
I don't.
Let me give it to you right now.
Okay. Let me grab a pen and, okay, go ahead.
Indiana Justice at proton.me. M-E.
Okay. Okay. Fantastic. And,
okay,
and you'll be able to put me in touch with the person in charge of Hawaii.
Yeah, because I'll have to ask Sandy about that. But yeah, I can do that.
All right, super. All right, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Glad to have you on.
Yes. I was invited by Lewis.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he's on the call. If he is, thank you so much, Lewis.
Good news.
Okay.
Does anybody else have a question? Comment?
I do. Beth in South Carolina. I'm curious to know what forms of like retaliation, what might we experience with, you know, with being, you know, say a thorn in the side of the corporation?
Yeah. If you go out there and start broadcasting to judges, things like, yeah, you're in the Republic, you don't have any authority, you're going to find out what kind of authority they do have over you. Don't poke the bear, so to speak. When you go into a restaurant and you talk to people, you know, you can talk to somebody the first 5 or 6 minutes. You can kind of feel where they stand in a lot of things. That would be a good time to bring out that, well, I'm a member of the Republic. And then if they ask, well, what's that? Then feel free to answer them. But a lot of times in places where you may go, the people that you're around, they may not even want to hear about it. You can mention it, but if they start asking you questions, then you pretty much got their attention. So you got to just kind of be careful and know when to speak and when not. And you can do that by feel when you talk to somebody. If you're like myself, and
what I was pointing more towards would be like maybe being targeted according to you know the surveillance on our phones and emails of them finding out who's actually congregating to enforce our own sovereign power, as far as us being targeted in some kind of way to be you know how they'll use the justice system against us to formulate things that we haven't done actually in order to put a roadblock into what we're trying to do. That's kind of what I was meaning.
Well, do you believe in God?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just going to ask this. Are you saved, so to speak?
Yes.
You got angels around you?
I do.
You know what? I've said this for years, and I believe it with all my heart. Inside this republic, under God's authority, we are the remnant in this nation that he's going to use to further his kingdom. And he's going to do
that
through the republic. That means you're covered.
That's what I was feeling too. I just know the evil we're up against, and they try everything they can. But I do believe in divine protection, and his will be done.
Okay, this is Regina Allen from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Anyway, you think about President Trump, how they go after him. He always bounces back and comes back to the top and ends up better each time.
Yeah.
And we have to pray a hedge of protection. And God's very willing to put a hedge of protection around us.
Yeah.
Plus, in the Bible, it talks about how we entertain angels unawares.
Right.
When you don't even know it,
okay,
there are angels protecting you.
Right.
No, yes.
I know that for a fact.
I do too.
Yeah. I do too.
But I was glad you asked that question, because I didn't know what he was going to say. I was glad you asked that.
Yeah, I don't ask in a spirit of fear. I ask because figure that's a concern among us all. Is like, with what we're dealing with, that they use the system against us, and they're, trying everything to maintain the control they shouldn't have. But that's one reason why I ask and brought it up.
Yeah,
well,
and you never know. I mean, the system's not perfect. And you never know, and a lot of times things will happen to us, but things that happen to us that are bad, God uses them for our good. And, you never know. Something can happen to us, but we're standing with him, and God wins, and we're with him, so we're going to win. I mean, it may not be a perfect situation, but we're going to win.
No,
they don't have any power over us. Satan doesn't have power over us as long as we have the name of Jesus.
That's right. No weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Shall prosper.
And with that, I yield.
I mean, that's not perfect either. I mean, I'm not a perfect person or anything, but it's coming to my mind, so that's why I'm just staring it.
Yes, ma'am.
But I was glad you asked.
There is something that everybody can do every morning. When you get up and start moving around before you have breakfast.
Right.
The word tells us to speak the word.
That's
out of our own mouth, it creates. Psalms 103:20 tells us that the angels listen to the word. So when you get up in the morning, you speak the word of protection over yourself, your family.
That's
those angels that are surrounding you, now go to work for your behalf.
Absolutely.
That's right.
If you don't mention that and speak that in the mornings and you start your day without that, pretty much you're on your own.
Right.
You're there, but you didn't put them to work. So
yes, they are here. They are here for us, but we have to command them and welcome them in by free choice. Without that, without us giving that free choice and welcoming, then you know they're really not able to help us as we need.
Well, just understand, it's the word mm-hmm. that commands them, not you individually.
That's right. It's the word, not me.
It's the word that they
right.
listen to. So,
right.
Because I'm His child, and it's a promise in the word that I have their protection, that He gives them charge over me. He does it.
Well, I think, you know, it was written by, I got a feeling David kind of knew what he was talking about after facing Goliath.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Imagine that. Little tiny David facing that big old Goliath. And Goliath didn't have a chance.
That's us versus the corporation.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot more Davids now against one Goliath, and we got this.
Yeah.
We got it. You got it, girl. We are the victims.
I'm going to have to get going here. Does anybody else have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Carol Tatum from the Free State of Texas.
Sure.
I have a question about advertising the Republic for the United States website and Sandy's SGNON video. I'm on Twitter, and I have 4,000 followers, and I did today post the SGNON and Sandy video. And
okay.
also the awakenandunite.com website. My question is, should I do that or not?
Sure. Put the word out
okay.
there about as you can.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
What was that?
There's nothing that says that we can't. If you got the means to do so, then go ahead and do it.
Yes, I can reach a lot of people.
Well, that would be much appreciated.
Okay, great. Thank you. I yield.
You're welcome. Anybody else got a question or comment? Well, if not, let's close her down. We'll see each of you next week. Same time, same calls.
Thank you.
It. You're welcome.
Bye, buddy. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Good night.
Night.
And Father, protect us until we come back together again. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.